Today on Geffen Playhouse Unscripted, we are joined by actor, producer, director, author. What else can you do, Bryan Cranston?
I sweep floors.
You do?
And I load a dishwasher really, really well.
Do you unload it?
Not too many.
Okay. We could give you a job in our
house. The talent is loading it, not unloading.
No, the talent is buying the dishes that fit together and not the dishes that I buy that don't fit in the dishwasher.
Well, I could teach you how they can fit.
Okay, Bryan, thank you. That's Bryan Cranston on Geffen Playhouse Unscripted. Be sure to listen on Podcast One or through the Podcast One app and Apple Podcasts.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. I'm sure we get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for all the good tweets. I read the good tweets. And Drew only reads the bad tweets.
I seem to only get the bad tweets.
Drew only gets the bad
tweets. They must
tweets.
Feed you the good ones and feed me the bad ones.
I get the happy tweets. Thank you guys for telling a friend and all that good stuff. Hey, Max Pata.
Adam.
Hey, wasn't the band or the reggae artist Maxi Priest on Loveline?
Yeah, freaked out. Remember?
Now I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about Maxi Priest. Let me tell you how lazy Chris Maxipata is.
Uh-oh.
Not lazy when it comes to food, but I was telling him, I think we should call his band Loxy. We should call it Maxi, because his name is Maxipata.
Yeah,
I don't
sure.
know where Loxy. Maybe they formed at LAX or something. Yeah. I don't know. But I said, let's start calling you Maxi. And then I said, like Maxi Priest. And he went, who's Maxi Priest?
What?
And I,
oh,
well,
he would have totally freaked
kid.
Out.
He's a kid. He's a kid. And I said, Maxi Priest was a band or a guy or
a yeah, reggae guy.
I was kind of combing through. I said, yeah, 80s, 90s, yeah. K-Rock, had a hit or two. Definitely had a hit.
He was a sort of big for about eight or 10 years even.
Sort of big. And I said, you look him up on the computer, look the band up. Like, you'll find out who Maxi Priest was. And then I talked to him later the day, and I said, did you look up Maxi Priest? And he said, yeah, it's one guy. It's a reggae guy. And I go, yeah. Did his song sound familiar? What was the song? And he went, I don't know.
Didn't listen.
I said, did you look? And he said, no. And I said, all right.
At least he looked it up.
Well, I yelled at him to look it up while I was on the phone with him, but I didn't scream, you must listen to his hit. But I don't know what his hit's on. Now we got to find it.
Right here.
We got to listen to the hit. And then he freaked out on Loveline.
Yeah,
close to you.
No, this doesn't sound like his hit to me. This was his hit?
Could be.
This one's also really popular. It's called Wild World.
Ah, this is
a Cat Stevens cover.
Yeah. Do you know who Cat Stevens is? Look it up!
This is, by the way, would you like to know what the turducken of cop-outs is? Be a reggae artist and cover a song. First off, being a reggae artist is already just cop-out number one, musically, and then cop-out number two is cover a good Cat Stevens song.
Yeah.
If you would.
So you're upset I didn't look this up? Or?
I am. I still want to know if he had a hit that he wrote. But anyway, why did Maxi Priest storm out of Loveline?
If I remember right, it was because Shaggy was there. And I was
a
big Shaggy fan, and I was sort of geeking out on him. And I was impressed that Maxi Priest was there. I knew who he was, of course, but I was friendly with Shaggy, and I was sort of geeking out on him. And he just recently become successful, too. I mean, he really suddenly had hit it right about that point. I was just gushing.
Was Shaggy with him?
Yeah, for some reason we had both of them.
They've got a big hit together. You want to play that one?
That's what it is.
I didn't know
Shaggy
that.
Shaggy and Maxi Priest were there. And Drew was blowing Shaggy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, this is Booker T and the MGs.
No, that's
just Shaggy. Green Onions.
Yeah, it's a little. They didn't even cover this one. They sampled it.
Well, in any event, Maxi stormed out.
Peaked at number 20.
Said I disrespected him. Remember? They couldn't get him back in the building?
Yes. He disrespected Maxi Priest.
Because I was excited.
They're just ripping off. This is Booker T and the MGs, Green Onions.
Yeah.
God. Well, Maxi Priest is a huge star now, so the joke's on you, Drew. And now we can't get him booked on the show because we can't even get through to his people.
Good job, Drew.
Yeah. So I remember that. So Maxi Priest and you were, I don't know, you talked to Shaggy too long or something?
I was too enthusiastic when I spoke to him or something. Yeah, it was weird. It was because we couldn't figure, when he stormed out, we couldn't figure out what the problem was. We had no idea.
But still, I was happy. I was always happy when somebody stormed out. More mic time for me.
Do you remember Sneaker Pimps? Remember they stormed out?
Sneaker Pimps stormed out.
And started walking down Washington.
Well, one guy from the Sneaker Pimps just walked back to their hotel.
Yeah.
And we were nowhere near their hotel.
Yeah. Who was the biggest act that stormed out? Because I haven't heard of any of these guys.
I love that. I've heard of At the Drive-In. Remember those guys? Some of those guys actually did well. Those.
Sneaker Pimps, you got to figure out whatever their hit song was.
Wait, wasn't it At the Drive? Maybe it was the other band. Was At the Drive the one that succeeded?
The No Doubt guys were not happy, but they didn't leave.
Really?
No Doubt?
Yeah.
Well, Adam went.
No, but No Doubt has a couple of the guys in No Doubt are kind of douchebags. It wasn't all me.
Yeah. Well, I thought what you said was simple and it was not bad.
All right, but the we've had a few things. One of the ones I was thinking about. Oh, because Chris Cornell definitely killed himself.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, so we're hearing.
It's been confirmed.
Yeah. What was the Thunderbolts? Whatever that British band. Remember the hair band that they came and sat down and then went, "Oop, not for us. We're out of here." Remember those guys?
There's a lot of horrible people who came in and out of there. But one of the things, speaking of Soundgarden, the one band from the Soundgarden era had the singer that OD'd. Mm. And that was, oh boy, they were a big band. And you'll think of it. Anyway, the lead guitar player came
like
in.
That?
No, it's Soundgarden. It's not In Excess. It's Soundgarden-ish. And the lead singer OD'd, and the guitar player came in, and he said, "I'm not talking about this guy." And, well, you guys, when you guys hear it, you'll go, oh, yeah.
Allison Chains? Was it? Lance Staley?
Yeah, Lance Staley died.
Yeah. Max Pat, there's nothing I say I know, but everyone looks at me like, huh, what? Huh, what? And then they go, oh, yeah. And if you go listen to my description of it, it'll always be right.
I know, we're not saying how well. We're trying to keep
up
with it.
No, I know. It's Allison Chains and Soundgarden right there.
Yeah, Nirvana, the grunge.
Yeah, right. But you never have to go In Excess.
Yeah.
Because if I go, no, right there, it will never be the 80s In Excess band.
Right.
It's a horrible band. But anyway. So he and his guitar, the other guy, came in and he said.
Navarro?
No, wasn't Navarro.
Jerry Cantrell?
Jerry Cantrell. Yeah. Navarro's a cool guy.
Cantrell
came in and he's like, "Hey, we're not talking about Lane."
Yeah.
And I said, respect that, but people may call up and they may bring him up, you know? And he said, "Hey, that's going to happen. I can't do this show." And I said, "Well, I can, we'll try to take calls about, teen pregnancies and herpes and stuff, but, someone may say to the screener, 'I want to talk about herpes.' And then they call up and they have a question about Lane. So if they do, I can't really prevent that. So what I can tell you, we won't talk about it if you don't want to talk about it, but I cannot guarantee that it won't come up because I really don't have control over that." And he said, "If you can't control that, then I'm going to have to leave." And I said, "Okay, because it's my goal. My goal is for everyone to leave. That's my, especially douchebags, especially when you're douche, I want you to leave. Like, I really want you to leave."
You think he's kidding? He's not kidding.
I'm not kidding. I'd like to leave. I want to leave. I want to leave first, but if I can't leave, then the second is I'd like you to leave. I'd like everyone to leave. It's the funniest thing in the world. People send me like emails being douchey, like, hey, maybe this isn't a good idea or whatever it is. I'm always like, good, yes, horrible, bad. You're right. No, I've just gotten a couple recently, like people want to do stuff and then they wrote back with something shitty. And I've just been like, okay, good, good. Then they come back again, like, hey, when are we going to do this? I'm like, I don't want to.
Yeah.
You have no idea how little I want to do everything all the time. So
and by everything, he means anything.
So this guy is like, then I'm going to have to leave. And I was like, there you go. That's you know what? I respect that. I totally respect that. I had no hard feelings. If you have to leave, I get it. I respect it. We won't make fun of you. We won't say anything negative about you or the band or anything. You're perfectly free
right,
just to
yeah.
walk, go. I respect it and I understand it and I'm not going to say anything derogatory and negative about that. And he's like, all right, I'll stay. I was like, oh, God damn it. And then he stayed.
What was that band? The Darkness. The Darkness. Remember them?
Kind of.
I believe in a thing.
Yeah,
kind of.
They lasted.
I remember Harvey Danger being douchebags.
How about
Cowboy Junkies were douchebags.
Your very first interview, that guy, was it Blur or what? No.
Psycho Micah.
Yes.
I honestly, the first, yeah. I was, you know, the thing about my, I mean, Giovanni's got to like dig up the tape.
The very first Adam by himself.
I was me and Ricky Rackman and Dr. Drew for like 3 or 4 months. And Ricky Rackman was MTV headbanger ball guy. And so he was going to handle kind of the rock. He was a rock. He had the cred in the rock and roll
yeah.
space.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I had no cred in that space. I was a goofball comedian, you know? And so he kind of handled the interviews and I kind of cracked wise with the phone callers. And that's the way it was. And we're so stupid. Because when Ricky left, my first show could have, A, had no guest, or B, had David Alan Greer, or some comedian, or actress, or something, or friend of the show, or whatever it was. The very first show that I did solo was done with Psycho Mike from, you know, Distortion, or something, or whatever. And this guy...
Disturbed.
Whatever it was a colossal douchebag, but it even went further. It was like, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I swear to God, it's like he called Ricky Rackman and went like, sorry, you got shit canned. You want me to give him the business? Because I'll make this fucking guy quit the first night. And I remember in all the years subsequent to that, I've never interviewed anyone that was like willfully defiant and angry and was giving like one syllable answers.
Sat back and wouldn't just lean into the mic.
And I just sat
a mile from the mic. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember just like sitting there going.
His feet were closer to him than at the mic.
This is my first guest on my first night that I have to fucking do 2 hours with this asshole. I remember thinking, was he put up to this?
You said it was stupid with the three of us. The concept of the three of us was not a good idea?
No. Oh, yeah. Well, if one of them's me, yes.
Yeah.
Stupid idea. But
stupid putting you on the side.
If you have me and you have you, then adding a third person is stupid.
I've always said it was a two-person show.
But
I used to have these arguments with Poor Man back in the day. And it's just like it's never meant to be too many. It's just two voices. So do you, with different perspectives. That's it.
Yeah. Right? Well, that I knew. No, it was stupid booking that asshole for the first show. Like somebody, not that we ever, not that
oh,
any,
just,
hold on, not that there was any kind of producing going on any level of that show,
but
somebody should have went, let's not get hardcore asshole in here. Show one.
You know, I guess it's that it's, I'm interested in your feelings about the, how Loveline structure. I guess I was thinking about this because you're doing the documentary now. And yeah, it just intrigued me. What do you think of the one that they're doing now with Amber Rose? Have you heard that or watched it or anything? Or
no, I have no.
No feeling to watch it.
I have no feeling about it. But I don't know what it is. I'm sure it's excellent. It's gonna have to suck. It has to be bad.
Because not you.
Yes. Because nobody else can do this. If you're going to just say, sit around and answer these questions and be entertaining, it cannot work. It's impossible. Drew, have I ever said anything different than what I'm saying to you right now?
About Loveline?
Yes.
You've said both of us are good. You've given me a little piece of it.
Yes, good yeah. together. But yes. you can be replaced. But
and my point has always been people miss the fact that it's a medical show. It was a medical show. Not a psychological show, not a relational show, medical show. And then the comedy was you and the differences between two males conflicting on these things sort of was the essence of it.
Yes. Yeah. But nobody can do what I do in this environment. Mm-hmm. Listen, I can't do what John Oliver does. I can, but not as good as he does.
Right.
But maybe Bill Maher can do what John Oliver does, or Jon Stewart can do what John Oliver does, or maybe John Oliver can do what Jon Stewart does. I don't know. But in this, I'm it.
This being what?
The studio, freeform, unscripted, rolling questions. Can't be done. Nobody.
Why don't we go back and do TV again?
I feel like you're holding me back.
That might.
I don't know. We'll do some TV. I'm not being a douche.
No, I'm curious.
This is what I've learned, and I've never been proven wrong.
I've never thought to talk to you about this, which is what's amazing to me. We have not had this conversation.
All right. So
blinds galore. Let's do blinds galore.
Blinds galore.
Make me happy. I've got blinds galore.
Oh, you got it.
That's right.
Because I love blinds galore.
I love blinds galore because we're doing
can do what I do for blinds galore.
All that rebuild that you saw every window is going to have blinds galore there. And I've seen the kits, and I've seen
help
my wife. And Memorial Day starts this week, up to 50% off everything. So we're going to time it. So it's this weekend we're going to have blinds galore. One of their biggest sales of the year, best time to buy new blinds. Sale ends Wednesday, May 31st. So get on it. 100% custom-built window treatments made just for you when you order. That's right. They're specifically – and they send you a kit so you can try. It's really well done. We love them. We have them. It's family-owned, family-run, covered over 2 million windows. Expert customer care team will help you every step of the way. And that sounds like a platitude, but it's the truth. They really do help you. Let Blind Galore .com help you get the custom blinds and shades you've always wanted. And don't forget to check them out during their big Memorial Day sale where you can get up to 50% off everything. That is blindsgalore.com, and let them know the Adam and Dr. Drew Show sent you.
All right. Ready to take a phone call here?
Yes.
Oh, hey, Gary. Who's over there?
What's up, boss?
Remember I was talking about Bill Cosby dancing at the beginning of his show? Mm-hmm. I think he danced at the beginning of his other show,
I believe
his
he did.
First show, when he played the gym coach.
Oh my God!
Hiccup-a-boo. His name was Kincaid.
Wasn't Diane? What was her name?
Is that one the Bill Cosby show?
That was just the Bill Cosby show. Going to get some braggots and some bros and breezes. Yeah, it's so funny that his affect was nutty, cuckoo, fun. Like, that's the guy you'd want watching your kids if you went out of town. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That crazy, he would be dancing like, ooh, ah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like it's this crazy
Oh, you know
dancing.
What it was? Yeah, I'm remembering it now. It was sort of high contrast, like orange colors, stills of him moving around, like all over the place, wasn't it?
Well, that's how everything was in the 60s and 70s.
Oh, you got to find that intro, please. The intro
music. I'll show you
at least.
The intro, but it doesn't seem to be what you're describing, so I'm going to keep looking. But here's the first thing I found.
No.
That's all right. I don't know if he's dancing. I know he was scatting. I don't know if he's dancing.
Let's hear it. If it's the right music, we'll be. There it is. This is it.
I want to get some maggots and some rolls and reasonize it.
I like that bass.
Every day.
It's Quincy Jones, by the way.
Long as I'm away.
His pictures of him smiling.
Doing his pudding face, essentially.
Doing his pudding face.
I'm a lousy bothered.
I think the story was Quincy Jones like had lyrics. And Bill was like, I'm just going to do this.
He's going to scat.
And Quincy was like, do the lyrics there. believe me, this is good. Everyone's going to love this. And Quincy probably worked a long time putting that arrangement together something.
40 years later, we remember it, right?
Well, yeah, I guess I do. Getting some brackets and bros and Dominic, 37.
Adam, Big Bad Drew.
Yeah, Big Bad Drew.
Hey, can I give a quick Mangria plug?
Yeah.
So I bought a bottle from my buddy, and I asked him how he liked it, and he said, no good. And I said, what, it didn't taste good? And he said, no, it tasted great. It knocked me on my ass.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
So, yeah. I don't know if you heard that before.
Tastes like college.
Adam and I did a sort of stand-up thing. What would we call it? We did a concert? What do we call our thing? A show? In Newport, Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And they were serving Mangria there.
Yeah.
In the red solo cups, the beer cups.
Yeah.
I've never seen so many wasted people in my life.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Good for what ails you.
Afterwards, they were like, do you remember? They couldn't stand in line. It was unbelievable.
Singing the Bill Cosby song.
Yeah. Making up their own lyrics, man.
I was scared. I thought I would have to detox everybody. I'd hang a bunch of IVs.
Dominic, 37?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's going on?
Calling for some advice. I've been what you would call a people pleaser in my adult life, as long as I can remember. And I used to really not have much going on, so I would just say yes to everything, and it wasn't necessarily a bad thing, right?
Right.
But now I got a full life, I got a good career, I'm successful, I got a family, and I'm finding I'm saying no more and more, and ignoring people more and more. And while I don't really have a problem with that per se. I have this anxiety, sort of a dread that I'm always letting people down. And I wanted to see how you guys handle that because you've been successful much more than me for a long time.
I don't think Adam really knows what you're talking about. You don't feel this kind of thing, do you?
I do. I don't like it when people are upset with me or disappointed me or whatever with me. I feel it greatly.
Okay. This is not really that so much. This is like somebody asks you to do something kind of maybe even out of line, and you still feel bad when you have to say no. You know what I mean?
I've spent my life attempting to do well for people. But on the other hand, and feeling to a fault in the past of doing stuff and, you know, just – but as I've gotten older, I've been able to
parse it out.
I have, because I grew up with such crazy, stupid, low self-esteem that whatever you told me to do, I would just do it.
Right.
And I'd do it for you. I'd do it for free. Right. I really, like, if I said that, and I had this happen, where it's like I told someone, and I'd, you know, on weekends, I'd go to people's houses and do, like, odd jobs and stuff. And I'd say, like, well, it's $10 an hour, and I work 10 hours. And the guy'd go, oh, okay, here you go. And he'd hand me a check for $50. And he'd start to walk away. And I'd be like, I'll just go. Yeah. I'll just go cash check. Yeah. I can't. I don't want to go tap him on the shoulder.
Right.
Like,
right.
I just wouldn't. I wouldn't even do it. Even if it just got shorted, not even intentionally. I couldn't even bring myself to say, like, hey, excuse me.
So there's a whole series of kind of different phenomenon here. One is the ability to set boundaries. The other is sort of a severe codependency, and the other is sort of coming to your own aid, you know, asserting yourself even when it's appropriate. And all that stuff takes practice as much as anything. And there are ways to set boundaries without having to feel bad. But it's going to feel bad for a while when you do it. I imagine it's getting easier for you, no?
It's getting harder, but it's because of what you just said. I've been doing it more and saying no more and also not responding to people more. And it seems to be the past few weeks have really been weighing on me. Like there's a weight on my shoulders where I feel really guilty about everything and not saying yes and instead saying no and not getting back to people. I think because I had a life of going one way and now a few relatively short time of going the other way.
The problem with all this stuff is, like, I remember it kind of from my childhood where it's like, I think my mom went through all this junk. And then at some point you're like at the supermarket and you know, there's somebody with one item and you got a shopping cart and they're like, can I go in front of you? And they're like, no, you may not. I'm tired of letting people. And it's like, sweetheart, knock it off. This isn't the time. You're supposed to be telling this to your mom, not the guy behind you at the supermarket who's got the one item. You know what I mean? Like, you're taking, this is the wrong place for this. And right. I know you've been building up to this and reading books on it. Now you're going to apply it, but it's a weird application of it. Yeah. So, Dominic, it has to be organic and it has to work and fit each special situation. Yeah. Right. I think what a lot of people do is they go, no more. And so, like, what happens is they get to a four-way stop sign and, you know, they go, I'm not waving the person. I'm going, that's the wrong person in the wrong situation. You know what I mean?
Well, it's the difference between sort of aggression and assertiveness, too. And being assertive is not aggressive, and it's even empathic, and it's understanding the other person's point of view, but it's supporting yourself first. And it's okay to do that. You have to do a lot of coaching of yourself. And I have found that this is going to sound weird, but you can reflect back to somebody how they're feeling, and that's a way of setting a boundary. Like with your face, you can like appreciate, like reflect an appreciation of their feelings, and that helps set a boundary with me anyway.
All right, let's see. Someone's got a question about my sister, Andrew, 37, Detroit. What's
your
going
sister
on?
Or his sister?
Or his sister filling gaps in the story about
wants Adam.
His sister.
His
yeah,
sister.
Wanted
Adam's
Adam
sister.
To fill in.
Yeah, so hi guys, can you hear me?
Yeah.
True, boy. If you read it that way, you're scaring me. Yeah, go ahead.
Adam, you tell so many stories about your life, but there's a few gaps that I'm kind of curious about, like what happened after your sister ran away? How long was she gone? Did she ever live with your mom again?
He didn't care. He didn't think about it anymore.
It was unclear how long she was gone. I think at that point we were living with my dad full-ish time. I think we went and moved in with my dad, the world's second least fit parent. So we moved from basically the cellar. We took one step up from the cellar stair and got from my mom to my dad, who's my dad is the worst guy in the world to raise you, but he's not damaged goods.
He's not your mom.
It's not my mom.
So I'm a little confused though. Same, you do get vague when you talk about her, and that's what Andrew's asking.
I don't know.
How old was she when she left?
Well, first off, after there's a few things. Because my mom is my mom, none of this, there is no discussing this in front of my mom.
Did you know when she left?
She'll become super angry if you bring this up.
Did you know when she left, or was she 2 weeks in and just all of a sudden you're like, where's?
No, I knew. We lived in an 800 square foot house. I knew she
was
gone.
Was there upset the day she left?
My grandfather was very upset. Other people didn't seem to be upset. That was my take on it.
Was there a little good riddance or just kind of weird, you know?
I had the feeling at that young age.
Ooh.
Hold on.
Yeah.
I had the feeling that it's like when you have an elderly dog and it dies in its sleep. Jesus. Like you miss the dog, but you're kind of happy. You don't have
How
to wipe
old
its
was
bottom
she?
And stuff like that. 14. Old enough to know.
Your daughter's how old now?
She'll turn 11 in a
three years from now.
Could have been 13 and a half.
Your daughter just takes off. Oh, well. Anyway, what are you going to do?
No, it wasn't what are you going to do, but it was do something, just not that much.
Like cops and missing persons and child protective services
and
social services
involved with this, man.
Can you imagine? Hey, man, we just want to be free.
My mom
do what we want to do.
My mom was probably holding.
We're going to get loaded. We're going to get high.
Yeah. So there wasn't. My grandfather was pretty upset.
Kidding? It's a missing person.
I remember being upset that my grandfather was upset.
Yeah.
But also, he was the one who seemed upset. He was a Jew.
God.
The rest of the family. They seemed they're fair. You know, they were calling some friends and, you know.
Did she announce she was leaving or just showed up missing?
Don't remember the announcement part.
And gone how long?
It's unclear.
Maybe we should call her and do a little interview.
My family's everything's uncomfortable.
I know.
But I would say
a year?
It could have been a number of weeks, number of months. And then at some point, I think maybe it was understood she was somewhere, just not coming back.
And where was she?
I don't know. Nobody. I have no idea. At some point, she moved back in with her boyfriend.
Probably. Your boy, at age 14.
Well, you know, like ninth grade, you know.
Hey, man. We just want to be free.
70s, man.
Free to do 14. Are you fucking kidding me?
Well, what was she missing out on at home?
I'm just here to tell you that, the boyfriend moving in to the 14-year-old's house.
Oh, they're probably 15.
Oh, way off.
By then.
But when I talk about the fact that whatever we're dealing with now is the repercussions of all that, I'm just saying.
Yeah, it could have been 16. I don't know. I don't.
So she's gone for 2 years?
I honestly don't remember.
Did she go to school during that time?
Yeah, she was in an advanced studies program at UCLA.
No,
for gifted. Did she go to school?
No, I mean, what school district? Where was she?
She didn't go to school.
She didn't go to school.
Okay. No.
All right. She how'd that work? She emancipated minor?
No.
Why'd the school come after her?
Well, where are they going to go?
Wherever she was staying.
I don't know.
They don't know where she was.
Was she in Hollywood living out of the Children of the Night? What the fuck?
Nobody knows.
Oh, we have to. This story has got to be much.
So
much
I'm assuming. Look, I'm assuming.
Andrew, I feel your pain, man.
Assuming she had a boyfriend and those two like lived together in an apartment or something.
Why'd she pay for the apartment?
Well, he probably worked and maybe she probably worked. What I'm assuming.
I knew you were the right guy to ask the follow-up questions on this.
It's so vague. I know it's got to be much simpler in reality. If I were to talk to your sister, it'd be like, no, that's the way Adam remembers. I was gone for 10 days. I stayed at the neighbor's house. She was gone from she should have been in your high school, right?
Oh, this is junior high.
15, 16 you were talking about.
Well, I started in junior high.
14.
Well, our junior high went to the ninth grade.
Okay, so junior high.
And then high school, I don't feel like she got to high school. I don't feel like that was...
Did she go to college eventually?
Oh, yeah. She was on the dean list at Brown.
Listen to me. Did she? I thought she was somebody that eventually went to college. I'm wondering how she pulled that off.
No, okay. She didn't go to college. No, she got a job. She worked it out. She's a good person. She had to start a good raise a good family. You know, she's like me. Mm. She's a survivor.
Ah,
we're Corollas. We survive. Yeah. My mom eventually got her degree. Chicana studies. It's my favorite. My dad eventually got his. They got their degrees in their, you know, 50s, wow. Maybe 60s.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
It's hope for you.
Yeah. So, no, I don't think she ever got her degree. Right. She got out of junior high, got a little off track, probably re-entered high school, but... At the magnet weird school in the corner. I don't know. You went to Little Lord Fauntleroy School for albino hemophiliacs, mm-hmm. But the schools we went to had a corral in the corner that was fenced off. And it was basically, it's like, hey, kids who are unteachable, yeah, we need you to come to school. I don't know about that. Well, no, don't worry. We're not going to teach you anything. You just get to. You can sit here and smoke cigarettes on this bench.
I have a feeling.
See, here's what we need from you. All right, I get it. Unteachable kids with horrible parents. Yes, we need to say you're coming to school. Got it? Yes. Okay, but don't worry. We're not going to sign you homework or do any work with you because we know if you saw that, you wouldn't want to show up.
Yeah.
So we're going to create a little school in the side of our school, and we'll call it Amelia Earhart. Ooh, by the way, people like it. Mm-hmm. And we'll call it magnet school. Sounds good. Like they call special needs kids.
Well, sounds like we only allow exceptional kids in.
It's all good.
Magnet
it's all good. It's
kids.
All good. I think we'll call.
I think you mean alternative school.
Yeah, alternative.
I think that's what he means. Continuation.
Continuation. So they carved out this little thing, and it's like, hey, listen, pops, I don't do classrooms, and I like to smoke. Oh no! You can just sit and smoke outside. You just need to be here like 9-ish or something, and you can go to Taco Bell at noon. And if you want to come back, that'd be cool. And smoke and eat here.
I can't imagine things are really still that bad anymore. That's got to be the nadir of all this.
You know, like that quote that's like, 90% of it is showing up. Yeah. This one, it's 100% of it is showing up.
Yeah. Or as they'd say 107% because I don't know. It's showing up. And then so everyone just shows up like, all right, listen, we'll sit here and smoke. And we'll talk about that Heart concert we wanted to go to. But we're not learning any. No. No one asked you to learn. Forget anyone said that word. All right, we'll smoke and eat Taco Bell. We'll do that for a year. Okay. And then what happens when we're done? Don't cause any trouble. We'll just give you a little certificate and you just go get, you know the Taco Bell? Get a job there. And you have a little certificate with you. It'll be your pass to the bottom. And I went, okay. And that's how it worked. So I don't know if Amelia Earhart is still there today. I have no idea what the fuck they were doing over there. Drew wants to vomit into his mouth when he hears about this.
I want to vomit all over the table.
This is your taxpayers' money at work.
This is a generation being sacrificed.
I was 200 yards off to the southeast making something out of clay.
Weathered feldspar.
For three periods. Oh, crap. Yeah, that's awesome, man. Your kids. You should have sent your kids to North Hollywood.
Right. It's still there.
You want to be? Oh, it's still there? All right. For the next show, you read the description of it. Smart mouth, man. Dual solution oral rinse.
Ooh.
The only activated mouthwash clinically proven to instantly eliminate bad breath and prevent it from coming back.
It's the zinc product. I use it every day. Every day.
Yeah. It's zinc ion technology. Yep. It binds to bacteria, forcing it to stop producing sulfur. Nothing ruins an intimate moment as quickly as stinky breath. Doesn't matter if you're at work all day or you drive a Lamborghini like I do. Nobody wants their mouth to smell like wet garbage. Foul breath, it can ruin a social situation, sabotage a relationship or career prospects. It's a real visceral human deal breaker. Let's not do that. Visit smartmouth.com. You find it at Walgreens or Walmart or Target, CVS, wherever you shop. Smartmouth.com. Let's be smart. Smartmouth.com. All right. Drew.
Yeah.
I'm going to be at the Irvine Improv. We're doing a live podcast there. That's Thursday, June 15th. Dennis Prager's going to be up stage. Then Oxnard Levity Live. David Koechner's going to be up on stage. That's Thursday, July 6th. Live shows. We got a cruise coming up. Key West, Cozumel, man. It's November 30th. Ray's going to be there on the boat with Ray.
Oh, my God.
All right. And all the stuff, just go to adamcarolla.com. Drew, what do you got?
Please go to drew.com. Check the family podcast there. You'll like them, I promise. And sign up for the weekly infusion newsletter. This week's is about memory. We have a memory expert in. This guy can remember, like, the pi to the 10,000th decimal point or something insane like that. He talked about how he does it. It's incredible.
He should teach over to Amelia Earhart.
I think
he does. A lot of gifted people there. So until next time, it's Adam Crawford, Dr. Sam. Mahalo.
The Corolla Drinks Comedy and Music Tour. Live music, stand-up comedy, and buttloads of mangria. June 17th in Long Beach at D Piazza's. June 22nd in Fresno at Sequoia Brewing Company. And June 24th in Seattle, Washington at Showbox Soto Lounge. With special guest comedians and bands in every city featuring Loxy. Baby, let's roll. Plus, comedy from Matt Edgar. Tickets and more information are available online at CorollaDrinks.com. The Corolla Drinks Comedy and Music Tour. In Seattle with Lynette Corolla and Ray Oldhopper. In Long Beach with Mike Dawson and the Smokin' Kills.
Standing in the backyard, looking for a tree to climb.
June 17th in Long Beach. June 22nd in Fresno. June 24th in Seattle. The Corolla Drinks Comedy and Music Tour with Loxy and Matt Edgar. Get your tickets now at CorollaDrinks.com.